am in a situation I cannot go very long, you smell the food. So we'll try to do this real quick. But I do have some things I want to talk to you about, and I am an expert on lost believers. Yes, I am. I was there, and I met this dear lady's husband when I was 15 years old and proceeded through probably till I was 27 years old, just kind of skipping through life. But what I want to deal with you today, I want to talk to you about examination. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Lord said through Paul, examine yourself. Now, examination of yourself, most of the time we have to let a doctor do that, and it's one of the most humbling experiences when you really have to let an individual examine you, and he's looking to see what's wrong with you. Well, in this verse, he said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. So let's examine ourselves today. Let's all in this room examine ourselves and see whether we're in the faith. Now, the faith that we talk about is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the King James Bible preserves this. And the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a day in time, in history, when the Lord came onto this earth from God. He left the Father and came onto the earth, and He lived for approximately 33 years. In that 33 years, He took the infirmities of people, the sicknesses of people. He walked, He talked, He loved the Lord. His entire mission was to do the will of the Father. And in doing so, He experienced what we as human beings experienced. And in this experience, it wasn't good, folks. I always thought about in Luke, when He took the infirmities and the sickness of people, how He must have felt. It'd be like entering into Him and making Him feel like He was feeling, like they were feeling. And He experienced this, and he was touched that away, and no doubt. But living, He had a resume of that all He was going to do, He was going to a cross. And at that cross, He was going to be punished by the people that He created. And the world hated Him. And this world fact, that's what we want to get a hold of. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And that is a dear verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when you think about it. But the faith of Jesus Christ has been talked about time and time again, because if you talk about the gospel of Christ, He died for our sins according to the Scripture and was buried and rose again the third day. That is His faith. He died for us. That was His faith that let that be done. And so His faith is what you must examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Now, I find in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, do you have eternal life? Are you questioning it, or do you have it for sure? There's no doubt that when you get up in the morning, you'll have it. When you go to bed tonight, you'll have it. It's not based on how you look or even how you act. Do you have the gift of eternal life through the fact that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Well, you examine yourself and say, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you be busy saying, well, that person needs to be saved? My sister believed that I needed to be saved. Then she got saved. I was the black sheep. I've always been the black sheep. I've always been a loner. I'm a sinful individual. I am an individual that you couldn't look at and think that he was saved. I'm not bragging. That's just me. That is the way I am. Yes, I have an attitude. I guess I'm in Mark's attitude bracket. And I have an attitude. Brother Lockhart talked bad about me a while ago. Now, hey, just the simple fact, my sister looked at me and she said, I know my brother needs to be saved. Well, what was she basing that on? She was basing it on the way that I lived, the way I looked, and my attitude versus hers. She looked good, I looked bad. Well, when did God base that? God didn't base that on that. I mean, He based it on the fact all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous in this room. There is none that doeth good in this room. There's none that deserve the grace of God, every one of you. Don't go say, yeah, I know there ain't no good. That's the way people talk. They're not going to say, I'm not like those people. Well, why are you going to be the Pharisee that went in to pray? I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men are. I give my tithes and all that. And I'm really grateful that I'm not like that man right there. But you ought to be in the back. Hey, folks, we're all guilty. And I think about some things in this. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Now, if there's anybody that, the Colossians kind of got a bum deal in this thing. Paul didn't even make it to Colossae. So he wrote them a letter. And the Colossians are definitely uncircumcised. That's in Colossians 2:13. Look with me in Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Man, they got two strikes against them right there. Okay? Hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Boy, what a great verse. Can you imagine the Colossians, when they got this letter, what they must have felt? Think about you in religion. Did you know that the book of Colossians existed? Did you have Colossians preached to you every week? I doubt you had Colossians 2:16 preached to you. You reckon? Did you reckon Colossians 2:16 was brought up to you in a religious system? Why not? Because if you drank, you're a sinner. If you danced, you were a sinner. If you smoked, you were a sinner. If you did all those things those people out there do, you're a sinner. We're in here. Right? Colossians chapter 1, look with me in verse 27. Well, look at 26. Even the mystery, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Boy, that among is a very important word there. Among the Gentiles. That's like, wow, open the door. Here you are. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I go to bed at night, I have the hope of glory. I get up in the morning, I got the hope of glory. Why do I have it? Because the faith of my Lord and Savior took care of it. He finished it right there. He finished it by faith. And you know, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what I should have said. That's what I should have said at the great white throne. And instead, I go to the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for my sins. He had the faith to let me do something. What? Go to the Father. And that's what I kind of want to, just for a second, it won't take long. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Years ago, I got up at camp as a young idiot that I was, and I preached on the devil. It went about 12 minutes, and he shut my mouth. I went up there thinking I could handle the devil, and like that, and I had a memory loss to the point I had to sit down. And if you think you can handle the devil, just go ahead and try. I'm pretty sure that Michael won't even rail an accusation against him. If you're going to deal with the devil, you're going to have to deal scripturally wise, as God said. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This room is based on all men. You wouldn't want to look at your genealogy. I was born in Arkansas. They checked my genealogy, and I have no branches on my tree and no bark. I have no idea where my genealogy is. Scottish, I guess, whatever, Irish. But I've got Indian in me. I've got, folks, we're the mixed multitude here. We are scattered, buddy, and we have come together. Well, he would have who to be saved in the verse? Are you glad? Okay. And come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Turn with me to 2 Peter, and look what Peter says here in chapter 1. The talk about religion, the talk about things today, I just want to sum up in a thought as I can, and very weak at that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look with me in verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. And by the way, a fable is something that children watch and listen to, and sometimes in their mind almost make it real. Well, I'm afraid that most religious people are under fables. That's what it appears. And as we're called to children of God, the we which are saved, there are children of the God of this world that are under fables. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look with me in verse 10. Paul said, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I got to thinking about the devices, and Brother Steve did a great job last night, and I thought about what Steve was talking about, the subtlety of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that underhanded dealings. And you know, when Satan deals, he does not want you to see that he's cheating. Any poker player does not want you to see that he's cheating. He does it subtle. He's very good at it. And so Satan has his devices, and the first part of it, he's subtle about it. Well, there are devices that he uses that people put great stock in. Temples. I believe if people believe the rapture was tomorrow, religious people, they go to their church. If the rapture's tomorrow, I'm going to the Chevrolet dealership and get me a ZR Corvette. Why not? Be gone tomorrow. Hey, I'm going to see how fast that dude will go, and if I leave in the car, it's okay, and I'm still leaving. I mean, folks believe they got to go to their church to be in harmony with God. Folks, you don't have to go to church to be in harmony with God. As a matter of fact, there are churches that you go into I don't want to be raptured out of. That scares me to death that God would pull me out of there. And then I'd have to go before him. He'd say, what are you doing there? I had a friend over there. And I thought I could bring him out. No, I don't want you there. That's what Mark was talking about. Folks, when you see the truth, come out. Be bold about it if you want to. Be timid about it, but just come out. Say, well, I don't have the guts. Well, somebody around you can help you. That's what the unity of this all about, endeavoring to keep the unity. Folks, there are people that will help you that are believe if you'll just depend on what God says. Now, he has one of the devices is temples. We know that in Acts 7 and Acts 17, the Most High dwells not in temples, made with hands. He has aisles. People walk the aisle all the time. I mean, yeah, that's a hard one to find in the Bible, ain't it? Walk the aisle. Does that mean if I part this, Mark can walk the aisle with his attitude? has altars. I'm pretty sure that altars have nothing of no use except sacrifice. Pretty sure you're supposed to lay a sacrifice on the altar. And you're not supposed to lay your sins on the altar. You're supposed to lay the sacrifice on the altar for the sins. I'm pretty sure that he uses translations. Anything that does not have the faith of Christ, do you honestly believe that God inspired that? Do you think that God would take the faith of His Son out of a book and expect you to keep the faith and know the faith and examine yourself whether you're in the faith if the faith ain't in there? I don't think so. How about ministers? Well, 2 Corinthians talks about his ministers and you know, I mean, he's got devices he uses. The letters. You know, this is a cool one. Paul writes and he says, though you get a letter from us, go in a bookstore and try to find some decent writings. All those letters are based on man's wisdom. And they're telling you how to get to God by being good. I failed. I am not good. I am not. I'm not proud of it. I'm not boasting. I'm not good. Jesus Christ really did have to die for me. He had to do it, or I can't get there. And I want you to think about something. I'm going to draw a big circle and a little circle. And I'm going to put this as the world. And I'm going to talk about that God's throne is here. And this represents heavens. Now I know that there's a God of this world that's up there, and he can go to this point, and he can go to this point. But he can't go to that point. Okay? Now, I'm down here in the world. There's a God that's roaming around in here, but he can't go there. He can talk to God. He can accuse God, things of God, people of God, and everything else. But he can't get there. So is he not between us and God? Now, in Genesis, there was two trees. They're both good trees. Just because it was a tree of knowledge of good and evil, God did not say it was a bad tree. He just said, you don't eat of it. He had a reason. Well, here's Adam and Eve. They're here. There's two trees there. Now, obviously, the best choice of trees would be the tree of life, right? If you knew there's a tree of life out there and all you had to do was go and get the fruit of it or go and get it, wouldn't you do it? But what if something got between you? What if something got between you and devised a way that you wouldn't go to the right tree, you'd go to the wrong one? What about it, huh? And he was subtle about it. He went to the weaker and got it all messed up. Well, think about this. Here's the world. It has been reconciled to God, and there is a straight route to God from a cross. And it's straight. Something is getting between people from seeing this. Now, there is an offering in the Bible that says that there are people going to inherit things in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 11. The apostles have things. They have a city. Their names are on there. Our apostle don't get his name on it, but there's 12 names. There's a city, and that city someday will drop down. All those things are going to happen. When this guy, whoever he is, we know him as Satan, God. I'm pretty sure if you go to Revelation 20, you'll find some of his names. Is going to be kicked down. Okay? Well, before he's kicked down, what he's doing, he's offering a perverted gospel to people to get them to think they can leave earth and go to God. Only problem is they get right here and they bounce back. They go right up here, but they bounce back. They go right up here and bounce back. Now, what are they using? Altars? Probably. How about baptism? Probably. How about confession of sins? Probably. Or temples? Probably. And they're using all of these things, but they're hitting that wall and they're coming right back because they're one they're following, he can't get there either. And that's what he wants them to do. He wants them to follow him, and when they are following him, they're going to land up in the same place he lands up, and it's called death and hell in the sense they're going to death and hell, and when they're brought out of death and hell, they're going into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And people are following that doctrine. The problem is, as we go out and preach the gospel of Christ, you may hit somebody that has went as far as they can and they got nowhere else to go, and when you present it, you show them the straight line to Christ, to God. And it's called the gospel of Christ. And when you can take and everything you ever did and present it as done, throw it away. then you'll know. I might be talking to somebody in here right now that you've done all this and you still don't have peace. You don't think I don't know what Mrs. Russell felt? I know. And when she came and told me, I was happy as a lark for her. She said, but all those years don't mean nothing. The day you get saved is what means. It don't mean nothing what you did. Don't mean nothing what you know. Don't mean nothing how you acted. It means something the day in your life when you trust Christ. Am I talking to somebody that don't know that day? You know, it's amazing. People that get saved like that, like Mrs. Russell and all that, you go up to other people and they get mad as fire at you. My best friend, one of my best friends, Jimmy Brown, the big Texan, when I got saved, May the 17th, 1984, people say, I know that date. You don't know as well as I do. When I got saved, I trusted the Lord. I quit trying. You see, I cut my ponytail off and shaved my beard and quit drinking. And it didn't do any good. I went to work for Brother Moore, and that didn't do any good. I went to Bible camp. That didn't do any good. But I thought I was doing good, and so my cutting my hair and my ponytail, oh my God, look at that, but it came back. I'd have been better off drinking. I quit being the way I was when I was 27, 28. Oh, I went there, bounced back. I still didn't have any peace. Are you sitting here without peace? Are you sitting here unsure about a day when you went from lost to saved? You know how simple it is called the simplicity of Christ. Now, if you'll allow me one thing, and I'm going to shut up because dinner has sprung. Is it about ready, Jack? Yes, it does. It comes through the vents. If you'll allow me something, and don't go away from here and say Jerry's a nut, because I am. I'm going to represent this board as a clean white board. And I had a dream years ago when I was a boy. I had it about 15 times, and I never understood it. And it makes sense to me now, scriptural-wise. In this room was a line. Here I was, and I looked at that line, and it was perfectly straight. And it was peaceful. And I didn't understand it. I was a kid, man. I had this dream over and over again. I couldn't understand it. So I looked away from that which was straight, and I saw a face of a man. When I looked back, there was no more peace. It was chaos. And every time I had that dream, I go, what in the world? Because you'd go from peace to absolute chaos. And this face was awful. That's why when I looked back, I was in chaos. So what in the world? So after I got saved, I said, Lord, what did that mean? You ever look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1? That which is crooked cannot be made straight. That was my life. My life was chaos. Chaotic. I was 16. My sister gave me a Bible. I read it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John shut it till I was 27. I said, nobody's living up to this. Why should I even try? And I was hell on wheels. Chaos. This face I was looking at was me. And it was miserable. And then I found in the scripture that God can make it straight, because my life now, no matter what, is straight to God. And it's through a cross. I don't worry about it anymore, folks. I'll bet you somebody's worrying. Why would you worry about it? The gospel's been preached very well, far better than I can do it. Well, listen to me, folks. Everybody take your hand like this. Everybody take your hand. it right here. How many you got left? How many? Tell me how many you got left. You may eat too much. You may choke on a sandwich like Mama Cass. You may die in a car. I might die on a motorcycle. I'd rather die on a motorcycle than at a nursing home. How many days you got left? How much time do you have left? Why would you risk it? Because you're afraid somebody would think you're goofy for being saved? Try it and see. The ones that get mad at you, start praying for them. The ones that are happy for you, it won't matter. Maybe you're lost. People say, well, I came out of a church. Uh-oh, you hit that and bounced back again. I know how to rightly divide. Bang, back again. Oh, man, I know the scripture. Bang, back again. None of those qualify for salvation, folks. You can memorize the Bible. You can memorize the gospel. You can memorize anything you want. That don't qualify for salvation. Salvation is something that you receive because God already did it for you. You can't get any more saved than what God did at Calvary. You can trust it. When you trust it, God will seal you. You know why He sealed you? Because you ain't worth a tinker's damn anyway. That flesh is miserable, vile, and there's got to be some reason He's changing it. I believe Romans 7:25 and 24 and 25 is us, don't you? Oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. How many of you ever tried to quit sinning? Did it work out? It didn't? Well, then you must be lost, right? I doubt it. It has nothing to do with being lost if you're a sinner. God did not change sinners yet. What He wants is, isn't it amazing that God could take an awful body, put the Spirit of the Lord in there, and that individual open its mouth and tell the glory of Jesus Christ, and God get the glory? I'm pretty sure that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, don't you? The earthen vessel. So quit trying to think, oh my God, I got to quit sinning. I don't think I can live up to the things that the people say I got to live up to. You can't, so quit and just stop and trust the Lord. Jesus Christ died for your sins according to Scripture. He was buried and He rose again the third day, and God forgave you. He justified you. He atoned you. And He wants you to have it free. Quit trying to buy it. Quit trying to earn it. Quit trying to impress God, and trust like a little child. And God will seal you. Thank you.